We take a look now at the role of corporate forensics against corruption, especially taking a look at this rising theme of white-collar investigations, given the multiple challenges we've seen within corporate businesses in South Africa, where there's just a lack of clear leadership and accountability, but that does lead to weaker operations and, of course, financial losses. To tell us more, we join on the line by Tendai Jangara, Director in the Corporate and White-Collar Investigation unit at his organization. So to tell us more about that, we're joined by Tendai. Tendai, such a pleasure to have you with us this evening, sir. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Gugu. Thank you for having me this evening.
My apologies. I called you sir on the assumption that Tendai is a name for a man. So please accept my most humble apologies about that.
No problem. It happens a lot. I think a lot more male Tendais are known than female. So no problem at all.
Thank you so much, Tendai. I guess first things first, maybe let's just get some perspective, right, in terms of corporate forensics. And in my mind, I'm already racing, thinking to auditing, you know, forensic auditing and the likes. Add some context and a description as to what corporate forensics entails in order to meet the need and the challenge of financial misconduct in the country.
Yes, so Gugu, you know, what you said is partially right. The area of corporate forensics, sometimes called corporate investigations or just white-collar crime forensics, really encompasses looking at crime that we would find in a white-collar context. So forensics, not your bodily forensics, but looking at transactions, looking at financial side of investigations and crime, as I said. But it's really in the context of organizations, and this can be in your private sector or it can be in your public sector. Over the last, I would say, maybe 10, 15 years in South Africa, we've seen a rise in the interest when it comes to corporate forensics. It's come out of just being in the accounting field where we would look at the finances of it to spreading more into the legal field as well, looking at the legal side of it, how you would classify it as a crime. And we've really seen it emerging as something very important, and specifically in the context of South Africa, where we find, you know, corruption in its many forms that we're aware of.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, you know, we find corruption in its many forms, because that obviously speaks to just the scope of corporate forensics and what it does entail. And from what I'm understanding, this is also where digital plays a significant role, not only in terms of understanding the finances, but as you say, the legal aspects too. So help us understand how we are leveraging digital forensics in uncovering financial wrongdoing.
Yes. So, you know, we've moved from, you know, crime being in cash, brown envelopes, people swapping briefcases, yes, to transactions happening via telecommunications through our IT systems. And as a result, our forensics has had to also adapt, because in order to investigate any kind of crime that has happened, any process of data or information that's related to any kind of corporate malfeasance, we have to have the capability. So that's where digital forensics comes in. And it's really the ability to go into systems and find evidence which just shows the crimes or the actions that have taken place. And I would like to call it hard evidence, because it's basically going in and finding evidence that rightly cannot be manipulated. It may be manipulated, but because in a digital space we find digital footprints, it becomes evidence that's a lot more reliable for us to work with. So really we find that because the crime is moving to digital, the forensics has had to follow and also become preemptive in really looking at investigations and how to get to the bottom of crimes.
100%. And it does seem as though it appears to be a lot more intricate, right? Because as you say, as white-collar crime becomes more advanced, then the methods and skills and talent required in order to unearth this level of malfeasance needs to be heightened as well. And from what I'm understanding, the private sector might be adequately equipped for this, but I do see that there's certain shortages of these skills within state institutions like the National Prosecuting Authority. Share your thoughts firstly on the skills and perhaps the skills gap that does exist in a country like South Africa.
Yes. So what we find, look, I think according to, you know, what we see with our education system, people with access, are able to study the more advanced types of degrees. That would be your IT, go into digital forensics as a specialized skill. And very often it's people who have exposure. So it's the children who are growing up with the laptops, who are exposed at school. And we find that these are the same people who then go into digital forensics as a skills and as an offering. And the skills definitely do lie in the private sector. Where we find that the skills have come up in the public sector, we find people making the move to the private sector, and it's usually just a financial, you know, a financial thing. So there definitely is a gap in our public sector where, you know, we have our investigative capabilities, we have our institutions, but definitely a gap when it comes to now having the skills to conduct digital forensics. And we're at a point where we need to close this gap, because we're finding that, you know, with a lot of our matters, I'll take state capture, for example, our matters are going through state capture commission. But when it comes to our investigation and prosecution, we find that a lot of cases are then falling apart. And I think a lot of it has to do with those skills that are lacking from a digital perspective, going into those systems, gathering the right evidence. So there definitely is a gap, and it's something that needs public private partnership to really close. Now, how do we get those skills to not just service public sector, private sector, but to also service public sector? So that's something we need to look at again from an education perspective. Are we giving enough exposure to our learners as they finish matric? And are we giving this as a career option? Mm-hmm. I think a lot more needs to happen there so that we have a steady stream of persons who are coming both into the private sector, but very importantly now into the public sector to provide the skills.
100%. And you raise such a valid point. I remember first being introduced to forensic auditing only in varsity because I studied accounting, and auditing was one of the subjects that you take on. But we really do need to heighten the level of awareness in this regard. Despite the shortages in the system, all is not lost, Tendai, from what I understand, especially given the feedback we heard from the State of the Nation address from the President last week. I'm aware we under pressure for time, but happy for you just to share some progress that is being made in South Africa and perhaps how best we can advance it going forward.
Yes, so definitely. And I'm so glad it came up in SONA because it is a focus area. We find that, you know, our investigating directorate is being equipped with these skills. So very important that it's coming. Obviously, persons with the skills must be adequately paid so they can stay in the public sector and see these cases through. I think we're going to see a very big difference now in how our cases are put together. As I said, you know, we've seen them falling apart at the most important point. But with this commitment, I think at a national level, at a presidential level, we should see the skills now coming up. And again, I think I have to emphasize that unless we can push it from a learner perspective, you know, get that excitement about digital forensics as a career, it's going to be very difficult. We have a skill shortage, I think, just nationwide and even globally when it comes to these skills. So in order to address that and actually meet what we see having been said in SONA, the will behind it, we must have the practical skills. We need the persons coming through the system who can actually service this need.
100%. Tendai, such a pleasure speaking to you this evening. Truly appreciate it, together with the insight and your time. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Gugu. Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you so much. That's Tendai Jangara, director in the Corporate and White Collar Investigation Unit of Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, a well-known law firm there, also referred to as CDH. Interesting insights, right? But I think really important.